Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is January 20th, 2023. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Hectic Witches Planner. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Have no fear of perfection. You'll never reach it," by Marie Curie. That is something that is so true. I actually think about that pretty often. And it was actually reinforced for me today. I went to the grocery. And on the way there, I was listening to the Charmed podcast with Holly Marie Combs, Brian Krause, and Drew Fuller. And they were talking about like trusting your instincts and when do you, you know, stay true to yourself, when you don't, blah, blah, blah. And I think Drew Fuller basically said, and they were talking about how the show got such big reactions from people and how they would get emails about how they were promoting witchcraft and putting bad energy into the world, but then also getting letters from Wiccans that they weren't Wiccan enough. So they were just talking about that. So he was throwing back to that, and he said, as we've talked about today, like, you'll never be perfect for everyone, so you might as well stay authentic to yourself. And I was like, yeah, I like that. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Glass Garden Apothecary Period Piece Tea. So we already went over red clover, willow bark, lady's mantle, and today we're talking about motherwort. So this comes to us from Wikipedia.com. Motherwort, folklore, healing, and magical attributes. So motherwort magically, energies promote inner trust and confidence that is the ultimate outcome will be the best for all involved in the fullness of time. Oh, I like that. It is also used for counter magic and associated with immortality and spiritual healing. It is considered a protective herb, especially in spells designed to protect pregnant women and their unborn child. So motherwort, as the name implies, is a woman's herb. It has been used in Asia to prevent pregnancy and regulate menstrual cycles. It is said to be used by midwives to expel afterbirth, to help get the uterus back into shape, which we've heard before with lady's mantle. Some herbalists recommend drinking motherwort tea during pregnancy, but others say it could put the pregnancy at risk. So honestly, just don't. Just, it's not worth it. It's not worth finding out. So don't take it if you're pregnant, breastfeeding, or anyone under treatment for thyroid condition. Pretty cool. I really like the magical uses. Like, that has a really cool energy to it. I never really thought about it in a magic way before. All right, moving into headlines. So Wednesday, Netflix's show about Wednesday Addams has been renewed for a second season. I'm going to be honest, I watched it. I know we were kind of doing like a watch party there for a minute, but then like after like we had one where no one came, I was like, and it's hard because Netflix has gotten us all into a culture of binging. I think the idea of people feeling like they had to wait a week to watch the next episode just isn't culturally significant anymore. I loved the idea of us getting together once a week to watch a show together, but Netflix has ruined all of our brains, and I feel like now we have to binge it. But I absolutely loved it. I love Jenna Ortega. I've been such a big fan of her since she was in the show You with Penn Badgley. She was in season 2. And then I saw her again when she was in The Babysitter 2. And there was something she was in that was really big that I was like, oh, she's like really establishing something here, but I don't remember what it was, but I've always really liked her. So it was really cool to see her play Wednesday. I like her take on it. I loved Enid, her roommate, super cute. I even liked the boy who was the red herring for the bad guy. I won't give spoilers, but I like him because he reminds me of like art class Draco, like if Draco Malfoy did art, like that's the vibe he gives. And I just really thought he was fun. It was a really great show. But I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about reception to it. So, reception was both good and bad. Honestly, the TikTok dance was all I needed. It was so great. So we have an article from The Guardian, how Netflix's Wednesday became a pop culture phenomena. And I think there are some things that people didn't like about it that I think are totally valid. But I also liked it. I just liked it. And sometimes I think it's okay to just like something without it being super serious, you know? So they write, "It's official. Wednesday, the Netflix Addams Family reboot, directed in part by Tim Burton, is a smash hit. Just 3 weeks after its release, the young adult series has racked up a staggering billion-hour worth of views, a Netflix benchmark surpassed only by Squid Games and Stranger Things 4. Consequently, social media feeds have been clogged by fans in their best Wednesday Addams cosplay. The children of TikTok." That's a little condescending. "The children of TikTok have been diligently recreating the Susie and the Banshees," or I've never known how to say Susie. I think that's it. Susie and the Banshees inspired performance. I've seen, so my TikTok, mine personally, does not have children on it. My TikTok feed is adults, and adults are having a blast with this song. If your TikTok's primarily children and you are not a child, maybe restart that algorithm. But it's really fun watching everyone do the dance has been a hoot and a half. It's been really fun watching everyone do it. So they said, "Given the incalculable hours fans have spent analyzing Wednesday's outfits, dance moves, and lip color, a dark berry liner diluted with clear gloss, according to influencers, entertainment execs everywhere are asking themselves, what's the magic formula that propels such viral popularity? Following Netflix's dismissal year of plummeting stock values and lost subscribers, Wednesday arrives as a mixed bag of surefire storylines with a little something for everyone. There is Supernatural, coming of age, murder mystery, young adult comedy, and then Ortega, who is like the it girl right now, plays the daughter of a familiar, beloved TV family. Wednesday is both the underdog misfit and the hottest girl in school. The product of the unlikeliest of mergers, think Addams Family meets Emily in Paris, sprinkled with a heavy dose of Harry Potter." Actually, speaking of Harry Potter, I just saw on TikTok where I see adults. One of the actors from Harry Potter, Rupert Grint, is that his name? He said he named his daughter after Wednesday Addams. So he has a daughter named Wednesday. I thought that was super cute. In the first episode, we see our titular protagonist, expulsion from her normie suburban high school after unleashing a few bags of piranhas on the high school water polo team. So one critique I've seen is that they wish Wednesday would have stayed in the normie high school because it would have been a more interesting show. But I disagree. I liked that they put Wednesday in a weirdo school, quote unquote weirdo school. Because what did we see there, right? We have Wednesday. She can clearly do whatever she wants. She's very self-assured, maybe overly confident. She can be the head of this like secret society, you know. She can be the top girl because she can really challenge the top girl. She can really be whatever we want. But what do we see her actually do? She kind of shuns the really popular people, Art Draco and Bianca. She kind of shuns the really popular people. And what she actually does is she befriends and becomes a champion and protector of the misfits of the misfit school. Eugene, her bee friend, Enid, the werewolf who can't werewolf. Like, it was really nice seeing them put Wednesday into a alternative school and see her still align herself with the misfits of that alternative school. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And I'm here for season two. I'm so excited. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, January 20th. The waning crescent moon climbs the tallest mountain in Capricorn today. Here, the moon trines Uranus. We should expect the unexpected with this influence. Uranus just wants change for change's sake and does not particularly care which feathers are ruffled as a result. If we resist this change, we risk having the change foisted upon us. If we roll with the change, we will be pleasantly surprised by the direction that this permutation pushes us in. In the trine, Uranus is set to support us with his changes, if we would only give over to them. Your daily moon mantra is, change is inevitable, growth is optional. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Witches are on the go. If we're not balancing home life with work, we're organizing rituals and keeping track of spells. The Hectic Witch's Planner is a journal-style planner that not only helps you keep track of appointments and important dates, but encourages you to plan out your long-term goals, your rituals, and even helps you pause and reflect with journal prompts. This 250-page, 12-month weekly planner is filled with planting guides, holiday information, moon phases, and more, with monthly suggestions to help you try out new witchy things. Full color with bound pages, this is a planner for witches built by some of the busiest witches around. Take charge of your destiny now with the 2022 planner and be on the lookout for the Hectic Witches 2023 planner, available on Amazon.
All right, so we are back. So I wanted to share one of our articles from the January issue of Witch Way magazine. I'm going to take a sip of my tea. So I've been doing so many readings, which I'm so grateful for. Thank you so much for letting me read for you. I really enjoy it. I love doing the 12-month readings. I cannot express how much I enjoy them. I will say, however, please keep booking them, please, please. But I will say I'm losing my voice from it. So I'm limiting the number I can do. So I can only do two a day until the end of the month. So if that is something you want to do, I would go ahead and reserve your spot, because I have found I can't do more than two. If I, one, it's very tiring. It's a tiring thing to do. But I'm losing my voice and it's getting difficult to talk, and I can't not talk. So if I sound weird, I'm just trying to keep my voice intact. But I promise this whole next week, I don't even think I'm planned to see anybody. So I'm going to keep my voice very, very quiet and all to myself in my throat. So hopefully it heals. But I did want to explain if I sound weird. So we are looking at Bookworm Witchcraft, Conjuring Magic and Reverence Through Reading and Writing. And this was written by one of my favorite people in the whole world, Kiki Dombrowski. I really do think she's one of the best people ever that's ever existed. So Kiki writes, "When I was much younger, someone asked me what type of witch I was. I reactively, perhaps intuitively, responded with a witty, slightly cheeky answer, claiming I was a bookworm witch. Upon reflection, I realized that my clever response actually had something powerful in it, that there was something valuable and profound in the idea of weaving the world of books into the world of witchcraft. Witchcraft requires dedication through study, practice, and experience. Thus, books could be considered a gateway to witchcraft, helping us embark on magical and enchanting journeys. Books can inspire us, help us develop our skills, and even give us the words we need to express our own thoughts and beliefs. If you are anything like me, you probably have a healthy collection of books on witchcraft, paganism, divination, metaphysical or supernatural topics, mythology, and more. I contemplated that if there can be witchcraft in the garden and the kitchen, can't there be witchcraft in the library as well?" You can use reading and writing as a focal point for your magic to deepen your knowledge and sharpen your understanding of witchcraft. With that in mind, this article shares with you my personal exploration into some of the practices and activities I associate with what I deemed or termed bookworm witchcraft. So while it is a playful name, bookworm witchcraft shows deep reverence for arcane knowledge and esoteric study. It celebrates the written word, the magic of studying, the alignment of spirituality, and research discoveries revealed through cross-referencing. Favorite activities for bookworm witches include reading, studying, collecting information on witchcraft through note-taking, using a variety of books to amass a range of knowledge on spirituality, and enjoying anything that involves the written word. So you can create a sacred space and setting for your bookworm witchcraft. So you can do a bookshelf altar. There is something so pretty about building an altar on top of a functional bookshelf, especially if it is a collection of your magical books and journals. Use books to create a magical theme. If you do have a bookshelf altar or a special spell that you are working on, consider using books as props in your magic. For example, if you are doing a spell for money, perhaps display your books that deal with learning how to manifest money or abundance magic. Crystals, oils, and herbs, consider using those associated with wisdom, knowledge, and mental clarity. You can find sacred destinations of knowledge. Bookstores, coffee shops, libraries are places of power for bookworm witches. There are many places you love to read or write, and there's many places you can go to discover those. Think of those unique locations and those times you went there and felt you had productive reading, writing, or studying. How did it feel? Accomplished? Wise? Creative? Use that feeling to inspire you. So there are gods and goddesses you can you may relate to if you are a bookworm witch. There's Bridget, who is associated with inspiration and poetry. Hermes, who is the Greek god of literature, language. Ogma, Celtic god of writing and learning. Odin, though while he's the father, like the all-father in Norse mythology, he was considered so thirsty for knowledge, he hangs himself from the world tree. Thoth is an Egyptian god. He's the god of wisdom, writing, and knowledge. Sechet, goddess of libraries, writing, and record keeping. So there's so many really fun things you can do with this idea. You can draw sigils. You can create a book of shadows. There's books, Magical Writing a grimoire by Lisa Marie Bazille. I think we had her on the show. There's just so many fun things you can do. You can start a book club or a book swap. You can use and support libraries. Speaking of book club, we are doing our Patreon spring book club pretty soon. I'm going to start putting the polls out there and all that good stuff. Use and support libraries. Libraries can be an opportunity to move away from the New Age aisle and deeper into research sources. Yes, let me tell you, because I am a publisher and an editor, so I get very strict about where my writers get their information. You do not cite other witch books. Of course, if you're talking about like a tradition specifically, yes, you cite other witch books. But in terms of like factual knowledge, you don't cite other witches' books. You cite historical books. You cite primary sources, right? Because when you encompass those things in your writing, you're typically making an observation or making a conclusion, or you're using that information to fit what you're talking about. So if you are, if we're constantly sourcing from each other, that information starts to get warped. Anyways, that's just my little thing. So yeah, whether you have rooms full of books or single stack on your bedside table, a collection of journals, or one precious notebook, we are all welcome to enjoy the world of bookworm witchcraft. Consider it the devoted practice of acquiring knowledge to better understand what is valuable to you in your spiritual pursuits. But keep in mind that spiritual development goes beyond the page, so take what you read about and see how it applies to the world around you. Use this as an opportunity to explore whether your imagination fancies the most. So yeah. I thought that was a super fun article. Kiki is just such a great writer, so that was super cool. Okay, so we do have a witch win. This comes to us from listener Laura. Laura says, I wanted to share a beautiful witch win that I experienced today. I just moved from the Pacific Northwest, where I've always lived, to Southern California to live in my partner's hometown of San Diego. The move was something we had planned for a long time, and I had been really excited about it, but I felt horribly uprooted and alone since getting here. Oh, that sucks. I've dealt with grief over leaving my home, extremely tight finances, cultural shock, climate shock, but most of all, isolation from my connection to my witchy community in Seattle and Portland, which I had worked hard for years to cultivate. I've been grieving, in particular, because my craft is so deeply connected to nature, and it feels there, quote, isn't any nature, unquote, in a city as vast and heavily populated as San Diego. I also feel really disconnected to the witchy community here, as a lot of it is rooted in Brujeria, Santeria, and Latinx witchcraft, which, as a white woman from the North, I don't feel particularly comfortable in participating in, as it's not my culture to do so. I had lost the faith I would find spiritual connection with others in this new place, and I felt really depressed about it. Oh, okay. Before we get, because we know it's a witch win, so we know we're about to get to something lighter, I do want to just comment on this first section. And I really want to give Laura here, like, the room and space and breath to be in this grief, because that is hard. Like, one of the things that keeps me here is I love my home so much. And just the idea of not living in my space, it's difficult, you know? And I can't imagine having to give up everything. I mean, everything. It's not just location, but culture, climate, friends, spirituality. Like she gave up everything. And then to really struggle to at least get the one thing that should go with you, which is your spirituality, to then struggle with that, I just have so much sympathy for that situation. And I would feel very lonely. And I don't know how I would cope with that or if I would cope with it really well. So I just want to make sure anyone listening, if you ever feel that way, like, that is valid. That is valid. That's not easy. Laura continues, I started my day of training at a new job today, which is a wellness-focused cafe. Oh, cute. And one of our big selling points is traditional South American drinking chocolate. Yes, cacao, yes. You guys know how I feel about that. As part of my training, I was invited to participate in a cacao ceremony and a group meditation this evening. I entered the space expecting to just learn more about cacao and the traditions behind it, but I was pleasantly surprised to find it was a guided circle. Inviting the spirit of cacao to impart wisdom as we drank it in meditation and share our visions with the group. My personal experience was profound, but too long to explain here. Fair. Yeah, that's for you. You know, that's for you and your close intimate friends. You don't have to share that with us. The best thing, though, was that I got to explore spirituality with a lovely group of new people, and afterwards I had some really great conversations that I'm confident will turn into awesome witchy friendships. I had been so worried about what I'd lost in the past that my eyes were closed to everything I had to gain living in the present. Feeling really grateful, both for this online community and the new physical one I am now leaning into. Laura, that was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That was absolutely the inspiration I think a lot of us need. I am going to tag this post as featured on air, so if you want to hop on over and give Laura a little clap or something, that's very nice. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. I want to give some shout-outs. First off, Rachel Brady. Rachel, you smashing celestial spider queen. Beth, you cunning Arcadian tropical fish. Elaine, you dreamlike, transcendent bar owl. And finally, Sherry Taylor. Sherry, you brilliant, dreamlike sunfish. Thank you for so much being Patreon supporters.
I really appreciate it. And we have a card pull today.
Sorry, I'm moving around. I try to have everything in front of me when I record, but it doesn't always happen. Okay, so we do have a card pull today from our new deck that we are using, the Metaphysical Cannabis deck. And our card today is Sexuality. Okay, so sexuality. A black goddess emerges and she is fully in love with her sexuality, confident in her sacred power. She does not let anyone siphon energy from her. She activates the erogenous zones of those who allow their true divinity to shine through when working with creator energy. The dolphin medicine reminds you to breathe through your energetic downloads. This card is amplified. And it appears partnered with the creator. The creator energy is a powerful driver for manifestation, taking you into the multidimensional realm of the erotic energetic expansion. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we will talk again next week.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath. And have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket, My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.